Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on Megillas Esther. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we're up to Perek Dalet, chapter 4. Specifically, Mordechai comes to Esther, tells her about Haman's decree against the Jews, and asks her for help, and Esther declines. And this is really hard to understand, right? I would think most people would put the survival of their nation ahead of themselves. They'd be afraid, but they would do it. And Esther's response to Mordechai is, you know, Ahasuerus hasn't called me for 30 days. Like, what kind of a response is that? How do you say that? How do you say, no, you know, everybody knows that if you go into Ahasuerus, you get killed. So what exactly, how should we understand that? So we'll do four approaches. First, two literalist approaches. Rashi first. Rashi says Esther is not saying, I'm not going, but rather Esther is saying, I can go later if the threat turns out to be definite. Keep in mind, Haman's plan, like we saw when we discussed the lottery, isn't going to be carried out for another 11 months. So she's thinking, yeah, I can stall for a little bit, and eventually, Ahasuerus is going to call me, at that point, I'll be able to go in and have a conversation with him. And that explains Mordechai's response to Esther. He says, "Umi odeya im la'es kazos higat lamalchus." He says, "Who knows if you haven't become queen for an occasion like this?" So Rashi says, "Mi odeya im yachpots bechamelech l'shana habash uzman hahariga." He says, who knows whether the king is going to desire you next year at the time of the massacre. In other words, as Rashi reads it, Mordechai is saying, yeah, you're playing a timing game. Who knows who knows what Ahasuerus' feelings towards you are going to be as you wait. It isn't necessarily true that things are going to get better. Who knows what things will be like? That's what Rashi reads. Mordechai is saying to her, don't wait for a better time. You may not get a better time. That's Rashi. The Malbim also takes a literalist approach, but his read of Esther's comment about the 30 days is that Esther is saying, it's been 30 days since he called me. He's going to call me soon. And then it'll be a good time for me to go to him. She's not saying no. She's saying later there will be a better opportunity. So Rashi is a little bit less certain. If the threat turns out to be definite, then I can go. Malbim is saying I may be in a better position later on. That's the way that they read Esther's refusal. On the other hand, Rav David Zinsheim, the Shlal David, takes a very different approach. And he says Esther's point is a religious statement. She is saying to Mordechai, there's something wrong here in why all of this is happening. The Jews have earned Hashem's wrath, and that's what we need to look at, is correcting whatever is wrong between ourselves and Hashem before I'm going to go to Ahasuerus. That's the pitch according to the Shlal David. This ties in with the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. Esther says when she sees that Mordechai is wearing sackcloth, she wants to know, Ladas maze ve'al maze. What is this all about? Why is Mordechai wearing sackcloth? Why is he grieving? So the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph, says, Ladas maze ve'al maze. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, shal chalo. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Esther sent to Mordechai, Shema avru Yisrael achamisha chum shei Torah. Have the Jews violated the Chumashim? Why? Dechsiv bohen mizeh umizeh hem kesuvim. Because the Pasuk says, regarding the Luchos, the tablets that Moshe brought to the Jews, that they were inscribed mizeh umizeh, from one side and from the other. So she's asking, have the Jews violated the Torah that Hashem sent to them? She's making a religious statement of, we need to get right with God before we're going to approach Ahasuerus. That's where the Shlal David reads it. And he expands and says, she first thought that the Jews' sin was Avodah Zarah, was idolatry. And she thought Mordechai refused to bow, and that took care of it. That atoned for the sin of Avodah Zarah. But then she realized that the sin could be having eaten at the meal of Ahasuerus. And therefore she called for fasting, figuring that this fast would be effective to correct for eating at the meal of Ahasuerus. And it also would work to daven for her success when she goes to Ahasuerus. Where would we get the idea that this would be about eating at Ahasuerus's meal? Because when she describes the gathering of the Jews, she says to gather the Jews, Hanimtzeim b'Shushan, the Jews who are found in Shushan. That's a phrase that we find one other time in the Megillah, back in chapter 1, sentence 5, when it describes Ahasuerus's feast, the seven-day feast for the people of Shushan. It says, L'chol ha'am hanimtzeim b'Shushan habira, those who are found in Shushan. So if David Zinsheim says, Hanimtzeim b'Shushan, regarding the feast, she says, gather the Jews who are found in Shushan in order to fast. It's a feast there. It's a fast here. So he says that's what she's trying to do. It's not a refusal to go. Rather, it's a statement of, let's first make things right with Hashem, and then I'll go. So right now we have the two literalist approaches, Rashi and Malbim saying that she's refusing to go now, but she's thinking it'll be better later. You have the Shlal David, Rav David Zinsheim, who's saying she's not refusing, but she's saying, first we have to talk to Hashem, then I can go to Ahasuerus. And then a fascinating political idea from Yoram Chazoni, from the Dawn, chapters 11 and 12, an idea which, frankly, like many of his ideas, is fascinating, although not so sure that I would take it as pshat in the story. We've discussed on other occasions, and I think I have a couple of shiurim on this on YU Torah, that there are many similarities between three biblical figures, Yosef, Daniel, and Esther, in chronological order. All of them are the Jew in the foreign palace, and there's much to be said. You can go hear those shiurim. But he sees an analogy between Yosef and Esther at this point. He says, Yosef's rise to power in Egypt required that he become quasi-Egyptian for the sake of fulfilling Hashem's mission. So he rides roughshod, not only over his brothers, but over Egypt in the service of Paro. He takes the land and so forth. That requires that Yosef wear Egyptian garb, take an Egyptian name, Tofnat Paneach, swear by the life of Paro, marry Osnat, right? Who Osnat is, that Yosef is marrying, is a good question, but he's taking the literal straight read of the sentences without a deeper meaning and saying that Osnat is this Egyptian woman. And Yosef does all of this believing, this is what Hashem wants me to do. That's why I'm doing it, because I am on this divine mission. If you were to look in Bereishis, Yosef says to his brothers, after he tells them who he is, he says, don't be upset that you sold me here, because you sent me here, sorry, Hashem sent me here in order to be able to provide food, because there's been a famine for the last 2 years, there's another 5 years of famine coming, Hashem sent me here in order to provide food for everybody. It's not about you, it's about a mission that Hashem has sent me on. That's Yosef's statement. So everything I do is in the context of a divine mission. And Hazoni says the problem with Yosef's approach is that he's still talking that way long after the famine is over. Because 17 years elapse between the time that Yaakov and his family come down to Egypt and Yaakov's death. And after Yaakov's death, the brothers come to Yosef and they say, you know, our father said you should forgive us and so on. And Yosef's response in Bereishis, chapter 50, sentences 20 and 21, is to say, no, you may have thought to harm me, but Hashem did this in order to provide benefit, in order to help everybody survive. Don't be afraid, Yosef says. Anochi achalkel eschem v'es tapchem. I am going to sustain you. I am going to sustain your children. Says Professor Hazoni, I don't understand. What sustaining is necessary? The famine is over. The famine is long over, right? We have two options for when it ended. Either it ran its course as Hashem had predicted, as a seven-year famine, in which case it ended 12 years ago, or it actually ended when Yaakov and the rest of the family came down right? As much discussed in Rashi and the Midrashim and so on. In which case, it's been over for 17 years. What are you talking about? I am still going to sustain you. So Professor Hazzoni argues that Yosef is locked into this mission now, and he can't see his way out of the mission. This is why God put me here. This is my job. As opposed to Moshe, he makes the contrast. Moshe rejects the court of Paro to save a Jewish slave, knowing full well what that's going to cost him. Whatever mission he has to be in the palace is secondary. That's Hazzoni's point in the context of Yosef and Moshe. Applying that now to Esther, he says, Esther has an overpowering sense of destiny. She went to Ahasuerus thinking this was something she had to do in order to save her people. Remember, we had a discussion in chapter 2 when she hides her identity. Is it to make her less likely to be selected as queen, or is it to make her more likely to be selected as queen? The Or HaChaim, Reb Chaim ibn Attar, and others thought that she hid her identity in order to make herself more acceptable as queen, because she wants to save the Jews. So she's locked into this mode of, I need to be in the palace. And she's worried that in the event that she uses her ammunition, she takes her chance now, she could ruin everything for the future. So she's stuck in that mode. Not that she doesn't want to save everybody. She absolutely wants to save everybody. She just doesn't know, is this the time for me to actually make my move and endanger everything? Or am I supposed to wait? And that's where the 30 days comes in and so on. It's definitely an interesting perspective. And that's a fourth point of view. So once again, two views that say that she's not saying I'm not going, but she's just trying to push it off. Maybe the threat won't really come to pass, as Rashi says, or as the Malbim says, he's going to call me soon and then I'll go. Or it's a religious statement. She's not refusing to go. She's just saying we need to do tshuva first. Or the view of Professor Hazzoni that she's just not sure that this is the time that she's meant to use her position of power, and she's afraid of endangering the mission that she's on.